First-time caller line. You're on the air with David Sarita. Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Mike. Let's just say my name's John Doe. I'm a tech sergeant with the Air Force out of Big Spring, Texas.
Oh.
I don't know if you've heard about it. I currently work at a faculty formerly known as Hangar 18.
Oh.
And our job is basically the craft was too big to move, so we are currently guarding it and keeping it from everybody else.
You claim you're guarding an extraterrestrial craft?
Yes, I am. My CO won't let me. He allowed me to use our phone to call out. And
to call a talk show and say, hey, we're guarding an extraterrestrial craft. Your CO approved that?
Unofficially, yes.
Well, your CO has lots of guts, is all I can say. So you claim you're calling from what we know in history as Hangar 18.
That's affirmative.
Okay. It's an opportunity I can't pass up. But what can you tell me, and David, since he's listening, about the nature of the craft that you guard?
The craft is approximately 380 feet long and 287 feet wide. There were 17 bodies originally found on the craft, and of course every one of them was deceased. The craft crashed, and the government covered it up.
And you've been guarding it how long?
I have been in the Air Force for 17 years.
Yes, sir.
And I have been on this project for approximately the last 5.5 years.
5.5 years. David, this is a very unusual opportunity. I mean, what would you say? I mean, here you are, my guest. What do you say to a caller like this?
Well, I try to be 100% open-minded. I would ask him, I'd ask you that, have you seen the craft do anything, or is it dismantled? Does it activate in any kind of a state? Anyone done studies into its energy and propulsion system?
As far as I can tell from the propulsion systems, I'm no expert, but from the scientists that I've seen studying it, if you will, they tell me that the propulsion system is dead, that apparently when it crashed it was on its last legs, if you will, and it was more or less, I guess when it entered our atmosphere, it was more or less on its last legs. From what I've heard, they said that it was basically a trinium and hydrogen combination that powered it. I'm no scientist, but that's what I overheard them say.
Yeah, that would be quite radioactive. So is there any presence of radioactivity, or is there any...
Well, at my current duty station, I'm approximately probably 30 feet from the left rear of the craft. And just from looking at it, I would say there's no radioactiveness left in it. We don't wear no protective suits or anything like that.
What does it look like?
It's kind of, I wouldn't say a triangle. It's kind of like a triangle, but every corner, the three edges are rounded. And there's three big bulges below it on each corner, and a bunch of little bulges in between each corner. And that's the best way I have to describe it.
How many people do you think have knowledge, guards and scientists and others that you've seen, have knowledge of the existence of this craft, where it is?
I would say... Like I said, I've been on this project for quite a while, and I would say that on any given day, I'll probably see 200 or 300 people.
My God.
And I would say that there's probably at least a few thousand that know of its existence that I have seen personally.
That you're making this call itself doesn't seem logical. In other words, it's obviously a very secret thing, and here you are, a guard, having talked to his commander, calling a national talk show. How did that come about?
We're pretty, I wouldn't say pretty big fans. We listen to the radio quite a lot here.
Well,
and a lot of times we listen to this show late at night. It's the only thing interested on.
Uh-huh.
My CO, he agreed with me, and he said, hey, other people believe we need to let these people know that there's something out here. This crashed a long time ago. From what I've heard, it crashed in 1958.
Are you and your CO willing to go any further?
We've talked about it, and I don't know about him, but I damn sure am.
You are?
Yes, I am.
Do you know how to get in touch with me?
I have your line that I called on tonight, and that's the only number I've got.
All right. I refer to email.
No, I don't.
You're not able to email?
I can, but I'm kind of afraid to.
Afraid to.
I was more or less told that if I wanted to call in, I'd call in. Who's going to believe me? Nobody else. My CO said, I'll let you make the call. And I have the means to email at my home, but I'm kind of afraid to.
Email a way that you would feel safe in communicating. Just do that much. Go to a library, to a computer where, a public library or something like that, and fire me an email with a suggestion on how we can exchange information. How about that, all right?
That'll work.
All right.
I actually have 3 videotapes that I made.
Oh?
And that I say 3. I have 1 that I have made, and I have 2 that were given to me. With the specs for the craft, and I actually have the one I have on tape actually has the craft with bodies.
Oh, Sergeant, we really need to talk. So, Art Bell at mindspring.com or Art Bell at AOL.com. That's my name. You'll not forget that at either one of those 2 addresses, and we'll take it from there. All right?
Okay. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Sergeant. Take care. You never know, David.
You never know.
You just never know.
You can't be negative and you can't be too enthusiastic, but if he's telling the truth, then you might have something there.
Well, maybe it's a good moment to stop and ask you. I mean, we do have Roswell, David,
mm-hmm.
and
yeah,
other crashes said to have occurred in that area. We have perhaps other crashes we've heard of in South Africa and other locations. Do you believe there is a crash retrieval program? Do you believe we have recovered alien craft?
Oh, I do. And let me tell you about Roswell, because this is a view, once you understand the concept of a craft turning into pure, ultraviolet wavelength energy or higher.
Yes.
Now let's look at Roswell. This is really interesting. Check this theory out. Okay. July 5th, 1945, or it was between the 5th and the 17th, the dates fluctuate, we detonated the first atomic bomb near White Sands, New Mexico. Now, July 7th, 1947, 2 years later, same dates of the year, on either side of the nuclear test site in New Mexico,
yes.
You have the Plains of San Augustine crash, and you have the crash at Roswell.
That's right.
Now, just imagine, visualize this for a moment, audience, that you have craft, just like in the case of Mexico, you have interdimensional craft that are vibrating at very high frequency wavelengths.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a nuclear bomb releases 200 million electron volts of energy with a lot of gamma radiation. Now, if you're pure wavelength craft, that gamma burst, tremendous gamma burst, is going to upset you. It's in other words, if you're not physical anymore, you're a pure wavelength, what you're vulnerable to is something similar to your frequency bursting at you.
Sure.
And you get thrown out on either side of the explosion, one towards Roswell and the other towards the Plains of St. Augustine. And 2 years later, we see the effects